So I just want to conclude the little message I had on coming out of our religious, you know,
mentality.
Praise God. All of us, it's something that we've all had one way or the other. You know that? We've all, you know, somehow become very religious, superstitious. You know, rapture. Jesus is coming in the sky. The end will work. The world will end. Armageddon. I'll go to fire to burn forever. You know? A millennium, 1,000 years. All these are what we call superstition. You know, at times we limit superstition to other areas, but this is actually pure superstition. And you have to deliver yourself from these things. They hinder you from your joy. Do you know that within you there is actually a well of living water bubbling with life inside of you? It's sealed within you. Remember the Garden of Eden? It says that out of the garden went forth a stream. Those are the streams of joy, of gladness of the Lord. See, there's a stream that maketh the city of God glad. That city is here. That's God's kingdom, God's realm. There's a stream. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Joy is here. But certain things are blocking that stream. You know, when you dig a well, actually that water has always been there. But you have to dig it to get to it. That digging you have to do, you have to go through all those rocks, that sand of our human belief, it has blocked this thing. So we have to go deep. Some people have to go deeper. You know, some places you go very deep before you get this, you know. And when you're digging in at times, maybe you think there's no water, some people give up. But there is water in you. The kingdom of God is in you. The Christ is in you. The hope of your glory is in you. It's not outside. The pastor will lead you into that hope. The pastor will not lead you into any entity, any formation, anything. He will lead you. That's what they call the true pastor. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He will lead you into this reality. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So let us understand that the word of God is not only the Bible. The Bible is not just the word of God. Sorry. Sure. The word of God is not limited to a book called the Bible. Are you listening?
Yes.
If it was limited to the book called the Bible, why did Jesus give parables? Were the parables in the Bible? Did Jesus give parables from the Bible? No, he did not. You see, the Bible, I can look at it as a school teacher to lead you into Christ. You know, those of us who went to secondary school or to university, we studied quite a lot of things. But I can assure you today, I'm using almost 0.1% of what I studied. Was it a waste of time? No. See, but when you enter into the real world, you know, now you begin to see real things. Yeah, those ones, it's beyond sitting down and writing. You know, I know of a millionaire who went back to school, a big man, elderly man, a rich, very big, very successful man who went back to school. And when the teacher, he went to economic school, and the teacher started to teach economy. Look, the guy said, look, that's not the way they do it out there. He always used to stand up in the class and say, look, teacher, that's not the way they do it out there. This is the way we do it. Have you talked about what you see the managers, you see this? You know, the real world is quite different from
the class world.
Yes, the class world. So you have to graduate from the letters of the Bible. Graduate, go higher. Praise God. You have to graduate. And This is where the problem is. This is why we have lots of problems in the body today. Well, we've called it the body actually because we are limited. We thought probably the church is only the body. But the body, like we are knowing, is everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every single man. The one that takes the bomb to go and blast himself somewhere and says Allah is because he's been blinded with his beliefs. You know that? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In Islam, you have what they call jihad, isn't it?
Yes.
And if you are to read the Bible literally, do you know that in the Bible there is jihad? The Bible speaks about the Armageddon. When Jesus will come in the sky with armies of heaven to fight against the enemies of God, you know, and fight. When he comes down, he will kill them with the sword and slaughter them and destroy the enemies of God. If you want to read it with the carnal mind, that's what you think. You'll be imagining how Jesus will first of all go to the first country we'll visit is the Middle East countries. That's what will be in your mind. Then you'll go to Russia, then China, then you'll go everywhere killing people. Already, that thing has already corrupted your mind without knowing. You know that? Because God does not kill. Somebody said, but God told them to kill people in the past. They were not listening to God. God never told anybody to kill anybody. So what of Samuel? What of Saul? What of Samuel, the prophet, who said obedience is better than sacrifice, and he went and killed people and killed animals? If I was there that time, I would have probably packed the animals to go and put in the fridge to eat later. They killed all the animals of the enemies. Say God told them to do that. You know, that was the level of light they had then. And if that light knew the darkness, how great is that darkness? Can't you understand that to be a religious person is more dangerous than to be somebody who is outside there who doesn't believe in anything? Do you know that? Because when you are religious, you think you are in the light. You know that? You think that you know it when you don't know that you don't know it. Ignorance, you know that? Praise God. Now, Jesus made a statement because people challenge him. Now, look at what the laws of Moses said. You know that? People challenge him. The same way today, when we preach, people still bring the scriptures and tell us, look at what is written in the Bible. Jesus Christ says, man, that book you're reading, it don't give life. See? He said it. Jesus told them, you think, read the scriptures as you want, you think that in them you have life. You think that you have life in the scriptures you read. The letter, it will only kill you. It will only make you more wicked. It will only put a barrier more and more between you and God. It will separate you from the glory in God. That Bible you see there. If you don't read it with the right eye of the Spirit, it will destroy you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, when Jesus was confronted, look at what he said. Turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to start from verse 1. Mark chapter 10, from verse 1. Are we there?
Yes.
And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, this one he passed me. As he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. For from the beginning of God, of the world, of the creation of God, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, amen, and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Say amen.
Amen.
And what therefore God has joined together, let no man
put aside.
Now, you see, when we got married in those days, I remember one song. You see the video, what God has joined together,
let no man
asunder. Amen. Well, just, you know, and you could see that Jesus was making a very important statement here, because at times we think that what we read in the laws of Moses is actually the word of God. Somebody said, but what do you mean, sir? What I'm trying to tell you is that what Moses transmitted to the children of Israel and to the world was actually a veiled interpretation of what God gave him to give the people. The revelation that actually that God wanted to give to mankind was I am. But the people were not ready to receive it. When Moses came down from the mountain, because of his appearance was so bright, the people were scared of him. He had to put a veil over his face. He had to cover his face to speak to the people. That is symbolic that what Moses was giving to the people was actually a veiled version. What does it mean, a veiled version? A version that is not real. A counterfeit version. They did not get the spirit, the message that God really wanted to transmit to them. They did not get it. And that is why religion was born. The Hebrew religion, which is actually the foundation of many, many things today, even in the country constitutions of the world. You go to America, you see the Hebrew religion is there. You go to all over the world, in religions, different religions, they have the Hebrew, you know, laws embedded within them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But are the laws wrong? No, they're not wrong. But that is not the way God wanted to present it to man. Because the way it was presented to man was veiled, and it can only produce death. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
So you see, everything we see in the realms of religion, they are not true. It has got nothing to do with the realms of God. God had a message to pass to mankind, and no man ever received it. But today, thank God for the grace we are hearing again. Do you know today we are ascending that mountain, we are hearing what Moses heard, the original word from God? Do you know that? Even Moses, at a point in time, Moses told the Israelites that, look, God will send another man, another messenger like me, that is the one you will listen to. It's in the Bible, you know that? Moses said, that is the one you will listen to. Don't listen to me. Praise God. So today we are hearing that message. And what is that message? I just want us to understand carefully. There is a message that is being spoken today. And that message, you hear it on top of the mountain. Let me cancel. So you have talked there. Amen. And I'm going to transform this one here into a cloud. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is a cloud. Eh? See, on top of the mountains, you have clouds. When you go outside and you're traveling, you see on top of the mountains, the high mountains, you see clouds. You see on some of them. And all that are symbolic. You see, anything we see in this natural world is actually a parable. It's God speaking. Are you listening?
Yes.
You can say that the Bible or the Word of God is actually, everything you see is actually the Word of God manifested to you. God is always speaking. 1 John says that all things were created by Him and for Him. All things, everything. The devil never created anything. You know that? When I say the devil, I say man never created anything. Amen.
Amen.
Even the inventions of, you know, Bill Gates, the inventions of all the great, great scientists, they actually come out of God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So to understand what God really intended to pass to man, like Jesus, you have to take a 3 days journey up the mountain, is it? Amen? Amen. We have, it's written in the gospel that Jesus Christ took 3 disciples and went on a 3 days journey. Why is it called 3 days journey? Three is a symbol of resurrection, isn't it? He rose on the 10th day, is it?
Yes.
Amen. There's a sect now, there's a sect in America called the 10th day Christians. Amen.
Amen.
And all that kind of stuff. So, 3 days journey, and that 3 days journey speaks about resurrection, awakening. Notice that he had to migrate. There had to be a journey. He had to leave the earth. Eh? All this is the earth. Now, the earth is where you have Christians. Are you listening?
Yes.
On the earth, you have Muslims. Isn't it?
Yes.
On the earth, you have Buddha. On the earth, you have black people. Is it?
Yes.
You have white people? Is it? You have male? You have female? See it? You have old man and young man? You see it? On the edge you have different contrasts. Different beliefs. Are you listening?
Yes.
And you can see that on the earth, things are broad, wide. A wide range of choices, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
But as you go up this ascend, which is what we call ascend, who will ascend? You remember the scripture, who will ascend? Mm-hmm. Is this Psalm 24? Yeah. Who will ascend the holy hill? That is what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's not about tradition. It is now ascension talks about spirituality. Ascending spiritually. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
No man can ascend up here. As a man, you cannot ascend. That is why in the days of old, when God came to Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai is another type of Zion. Everything has shadows. Mount Sinai, there was a cloud. God was in the cloud and there was earthquakes and tremblings and all that. The Bible says that no beast could come near the mountain. Any beast that comes near the mountain was to be stoned to death. Now the beast, what is a beast today in the eyes of the spirit? The beast speaks about the carnal man. See, animal, when you look in the bush and you see animals, you see a snake, the snake is actually the chief of the animals. Mm. When you have the mark of the beast, he talks of carnally minded people, people of the earth. When you're carnally minded, that's where you have Christianity, Muslim, you have male, female. That's carnality. Mm. That is why there are wars and, you know, battles here and there. It's because of the carnal mind. Everybody wants a piece of the glory here. Everybody wants a piece of the action. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody seeks his own glory here. These are the tribes and the nations and the tongues of the earth. But you have to take a journey out of there. A 3 days journey, which is resurrection, awakening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as you go up in this isolated mountain, no man is there, far away from men. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see a cloud on the mountain. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that cloud overshadows one man. There's only one man on the mountain. And there's a cloud that overshadows the man. And out of the man comes a voice that says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Now, my son can be called, and it doesn't have a name. We call Jesus, Jesus in this world. We need something to use to identify him. But he has been before even language or speech. He has always been. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And out of that cloud comes a voice. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased means that that voice dwells in the son. But you cannot know this except you go up the mountain. This was the message that Moses got to bring to the people. Here there is only one man. So what is happening is that in that one man, there are multitudes, and all these multitudes simply are united by one spirit. When he says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not... What he was trying to say is that all of you shall maintain yourself in this one,
yeah.
One man. This one name, this one man, this one identity. That was the revelation that Moses failed to give to the people. It became Ten Commandments because the people were not listening. The hardness of their hearts, their human reasoning, brought religion upon themselves, and they now suffer, not getting a true view that the only way is to recognize the mystery of oneness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you are up there, there is no more. The neighbor and whatever has now become one. There's only one person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fulfilling the word of the Spirit. It says, there is only one Spirit in the midst of you all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ephesians, there's only one in the midst of you all. The Father God is in the midst of you all. That this is the body of God. This is the body of Christ. This is the divine, eternal Spirit of God. Hallelujah. A cloud is formless. A cloud does not have form. A cloud is a symbol of a spiritual body. Hallelujah. A spiritual body that is not of this earth. These are people that are born of the Spirit. When you say born of the Spirit is actually God. These are people that are born of the Spirit, that walk in God, live in God, that walk in oneness. That is what the message is all about. It has got nothing to do with methodologies of prayers or this or that, or this is how they do it. And all these missiles that people throw at you when you begin to preach this message is out of ignorance. Paul was elected to preach the mystery of Christ so that people can see What is the mystery of the union that we have in God before this world was? Now the world is when we descended. In Adam we did what? We descended. In Adam, every man
descended.
Adam looked down on the glories of this world. And he looked beautiful, eh? He wanted to become a man like everybody. And so he descended. And after suffering for some time, after going through hell in the pit pen of humanity, he comes back to his senses and he begins his return to the Father. He now remembers that I came out of the Father. You see, he remembers himself that I came out of the Father. Like the prodigal son, he remembers, oh, I have a home. Why am I here suffering among the pigs? In the eyes of the Spirit, carnal men are pigs. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We hear some things that are not very flattering. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So this is the message. All we just need to do is to be fitted into the body. Amen.
Amen.
We're to be fitted here to get into this reality. Some of us have to cut one leg. See, it's better for you to enter with one leg and one hand and one eye than to enter into the kingdom of God. They say if any part of you offends you, you should cut it off. Amen? There was a story of some years ago. I think somewhere, I don't care whether in Asia or Africa, a man actually cut his private part off. Amen? He cut it off saying that way it was that he was offending, was obstructing his way into the kingdom of God. Amen. Poor guy, he have understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So the poor guy cut it off and you know, ended up the last days without anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus says that if anything offends you, cut it off, he's speaking about the earthly carnal aspect. You know, you have the ability to think carnally or to think spiritually. See, if that part of you offends you, which it does, cut it off. And you see, when you cut off the carnal aspect of you, you don't become actually beautiful anymore for people to desire. You know that? There'll be some losses, but in the world, actually, but you gain God. You know, you gain God. He says that woe unto you when all men speak good of you. It's not written. If people are saying, hey, if the crowds are flocking and the people are hailing and they are praising, you better think twice. Because this message is not accepted of men. It's not for men. It offends people. It offends pastors. If I preach this now where some established pastors are, you will see the way they will revolt. While in London some years ago, I preached a message like this, and if you see the fury of one of the elders there, the anger. And I met him after, I told him, do you know God revealed these things to me? That I didn't read them in books. And you could see he was shaking. These are very established people that go around the world, and they're well known. You see, when I faced him face to face, only me and him and Nicodemus, he shake. Amen.
Amen.
Empty vessels. You think you know, but you do not know anything. If anybody thinks he's wise, let him become a fool in this world. Hear my point. You have to become a fool in this world to be wise with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. So this is what he said. He speaks about oneness, spirituality, oneness, ascension. Recognition of the Christ that I am. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear
him.
Don't hear Moses. Don't hear Muhammad. Don't hear any other. Don't hear anybody, any man. Hear him, and him is a spirit. Him is the inner unction, the inner anointing. Even as I speak here, there can be a connection within us in the spirit, and you can hear what I'm saying. It has to skip from within you too. It has to reverberate. It has to echo from within you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you just understanding these are the ways to find escape. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is it setting you free from? It's not setting you free from any witch in your village. It's not setting you, it didn't come to set you free from witch in your village. Those are lower things. It's setting you free, first of all, from your mentality, from your beliefs. Your beliefs tie you to mortality, tie you to the earth. And down here, there are many hurts and there are many pains. Do you know some of us are stabbing ourselves daily without knowing because of the things we think of ourselves? You are bringing unhappiness to yourself. When the whole world, the whole universe is for you to enjoy, you are there crying and being bitter for nothing. Everything that I have is
yours.
Don't come out of the box. Be free. He has come to set the captives free. It's not just only the ones who are mentally sick that you come out in church and they pray. It's higher than that. He has come to set the captives free. People are in bondages. Pastors are in bondage. Teachers are in bondages. Good Christians are in bondage to their thought of what religion is. Some of these people don't fear their nana. If you truly believe in rapture or you believe in hellfire, you can imagine, let's face it, most of them are not ready to die. Do you know that?
When there is death, a man will shake. Whatever, however strong a man is, when he started before death, the story will change.
I was before a swara some weeks ago, and I told her that this world is just temporal, and very soon we all. She told me that let it wait a bit, please. I said, but you should be happy. She just told me the parable in Italian. Very, those kind of swearers that when you see them, you wonder whether they're truly, maybe they're virgins even, up to their old age. That type, very, but when she made that kind of joke to me, I was saying, eh? So you two, they do this kind of thing. Amen.
Amen.
So you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Enter boldly into his presence is the word of God. Don't feel condemnation in your heart. Liberate yourself from beliefs and enter freely into the realms of God. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.